Amen. Makes you want to go to glory, doesn't it? Makes you want to go to that place where saints will never die and we'll sing hallelujah by and by. Certainly appreciate the song leading done by Brother Eric. Yeah, Eric was excited this evening. And he got you excited as well. And we are grateful for the fine way he led us in our singing. We are thankful for the reading of our scripture lesson by Brother Solomon. And we are grateful for the meaningful prayer that was led by Brother Daniel. And we are thankful for your presence this evening and your open minds and receptive ears that you might listen to a message from the Word of God, taken from the very first book in the Bible, chapter 11. Brother Solomon read for us verses 1 through 9. I invite you to turn back to that passage if you turn from it following the reading that was done. Genesis 11, verse number 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. It really was God's intention that the population of the earth would not concentrate in just one geographical location. He wanted them to spread out to the various geographical areas of the earth. But in opposition to God's will and in opposition to God's desire, they determined that they were going to settle down in a certain plain in the land of Shinar. They wanted to dwell there, so they were operating in opposition to the will of God. They said, let us build us a city. Let us build us a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They had undertaken an unauthorized and ambitious project that was contrary to the will of God. Verse 5 says, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded." And the Lord said, and I want you to take close recognition of the message that the Lord gives in verse number 6. "And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech, that they may not understand one another's speech. The proliferation of a multitude of different languages was not propagated by the genius of man, but by and because of the guile of man. God is the one that is responsible for the various languages of all of the people that populate the earth. Not because of man's genius, but because of man's guile. They were operating in opposition to the will of God. God said, "I'm going to have to do something to thwart their efforts. I'm going to have to do something that will shut down this great project that they have undertaken." He said, "The people is one." They have all one language, and this they begin to do. This is verse number 6. "And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." Just want to call your attention to a positive lesson from a negative example. We can learn something positive from God's appraisal of what men united could do. Think about in this context, we see divine recognition of the power of unified speech. Just as these ancient citizens of the world were in the process of accomplishing something great against the will of God, because the people were one, they were unified, they were of one language. And God himself, in recognition of the power of unified speech, said nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. When people are united, when people speak the same language, they're able to communicate effectively with each other. And they are able to achieve their goals. They're able to realize great accomplishments if they are unified as one. If they all speak the same language. And that's something that's good. Now we recognize that Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God seeks unity among his people. We spoke this morning of the seven unified spiritual realities of the Christian religion. There is one body. There is one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Oneness is a vital and significant part of God's divine plan. And it is designed that way. God established the oneness. So he says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 3 that we should be ever endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to be able to capitalize on and utilize the power that comes from unity and that comes from speaking a common language. Isn't it wonderful that in the homes, husbands and wives, as a harmonious unit, can be characterized by one speech, speaking a common language. You know, if you can have the husband and wife speaking the same language, if they can speak the same language on child rearing, if they can speak the same language on finances, if they can speak the same language on what is appropriate recreation, if they can speak the same language overall on religion, no good thing shall be withholden from them. They cannot be restrained in the accomplishment of much good if they are unified and if they speak the same language. Is there divided speech in your home? Is there confusion in your house? Is there confusion in your marriage? Or is there unity? Is there harmony? Is there togetherness? is there a common language that is spoken by the husband and by the wife? And because of the unity that is embodied in the marriage, also the children can learn to speak the same language that is spoken by their parents. And they all can live together in peace and harmony, achieving their goals as a family. Oh, if we could just have all homes, all marriages to be unified, to be one. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's the way the Lord designed it. He designed husband and wife to be one, speaking the same language. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Democrats and Republicans in the halls of Congress could experience a spirit of unity, a spirit of oneness, a spirit of harmony, banish divisiveness and confusion, be harmonized and united by speaking a language that fosters progress and growth of the nation, preservation of the nation and of our way of life, preservation of liberty, to ensure the safety and security of our citizens under the Constitution. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the august body of Congress was not characterized by vicious division, by cross purposes, speaking different languages, seeking their own personal, selfish, political goals and objectives, and throwing the country and the citizens under the bus? Oh, what good could be accomplished if our elected officials in all three branches could speak the same language? What about the church? Just think of what we could achieve, what noble objectives we could reach successfully if we were unified like we should be, if we were characterized by oneness and one language. There is no end to what we can achieve. Jesus, in praying to his Father in John 17, said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for all them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they might all be one, that thou, as thou, Father, art in me, that they might also be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me." We should be characterized by an unshakable unity. Paul, in the oft-quoted passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here that ye all speak the same thing. The elders, the preachers, the deacons, the teachers, the parents, the adults, the teens, the old folk, the middle-aged folk, the young folk, everybody, that we should all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, Brother Jones, how can we all speak the same thing? What can lead to there being no division among us? How can we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment? Well, it's not real difficult to fathom. If we would all subscribe to and pledge our loyalty and our allegiance to the Word of God, it should and shall serve as the basis of our corporate unity as a congregation, as well it should serve as the basis of our unity of speech, our sameness of language. If we will speak where the Bible speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent, if we'll all speak the same thing, utilizing the same spiritual language that derives from the Bible, what wonderful things we could do as the people of God. Divine recognition. Divine recognition of the power of unified speech. Let us capture and capitalize on that power as we seek to carry out the mission of the Lord's church. As we seek to continuously reach up in worship and praise to God, reach out to a lost and dying world, following in the illustrious footsteps of Jesus, who said, I am come to seek and to save the lost. If we can reach in to those who are a part of the body already and seek to strengthen, fortify, and build them up, utilizing, promulgating the Word of God. Paul, in his farewell address to the Ephesian elders at Miletus, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, said, and now I commend you to God and to the words of his grace, which are able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of those that are sanctified. What wonderful things we could do as one people speaking one language. If you're not a part of that group of God's people unified by divine teaching and obedience to the gospel of Christ, you can become a part of it this evening. Jesus, in order to make possible the unity of which we have spoken, those seven unified spiritual realities, died on the cross of Calvary, was buried in a borrowed tomb, arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day in the interests of our salvation. Believe that good news with all of your hearts. Repent of all of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. And submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And you can arise from the watery grave, a brand new creation, ready to speak the same language, ready for no differences to divide us, that we might be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. If you are here and you are a child of God already, but have fallen by the wayside, why not return to the Lord of your soul through repentance, confession, and prayer? And why not do it right now as we together stand and as we sing?
Oh, do not let the world depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why? Tonight.